Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning the Zeicher Nishmas and Leilui Nishmas of Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hoshalom. Miriam Hashama merit a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share this evening. We thank the Frod family very much for their continued dedication to the Torah that we share together every week. So we are still in the chapter Removing Obstacles to Conditional Love. I know why you're smiling, because you want me to finish the chapter, but we learn so much every week, so I could just read you the book and then be finished. That would sort of defeat the purpose of having Shir. So let's go. We're on page 243, and I have a very beautiful, last week was also very, I thought, very powerful, about mothers, leaders, teachers. If you missed the Shir, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to it. It's very, very important, Shir. Okay, so here we go. We're talking about, do we have the perspective to evaluate what is God's kindness and what is not kindness? Like the things we see in the world, we think we understand what is kindness and what is not. What is rachamim and what's din? But the other's telling us that we don't even have the tools to understand exactly what's kindness and what is not kindness. What might look like kindness to us is really not kindness. So I'll give you a perfect example of it that I didn't think of last week. At the end of Parshas Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov Avinu goes down to Egypt. His sons come up and they tell him, you're not going to believe it. Yosef, your son, is alive and he's the ruler over the whole land of Egypt and it looks wonderful. And he goes down and Yaakov and Yosef sends wagons to bring his father down to Egypt, and the whole family comes down and Yosef's going to take care of them. And it's a reunion. It's really the beginning of Galus Mitzrayim. So it looks like a big chesed of Hashem that Yaakov is going down to Egypt to be reunited. I think they're only there for a short time. We only came here to sojourn, they say to Paro. Meanwhile, 210 years later, and after all the babies into the river, and after years of Shiva Mitzrayim, they leave. So on the pshat, it looked like it was kindness. That as you close Sefer Bereishis, it looks wonderful. Yosef raises his grandchildren on his knees, and it's one happy family. And then you go to the beginning of Sefer Shemos, and wait a minute, things aren't so good over here anymore. And vayirenu sanu hamitzrim, vayirenu. I'm really quoting from the passage of Bikurim, but it describes the Shiva Mitzrayim. So I think that that's a perfect example of an example from the Torah of what looks to us to be like kindness, but the Mechaber is telling us we don't even have the tools to evaluate what is kindness and what is not kindness. So it might look like kindness to our simple viewpoint, one-dimensional view, but from the Ribbono Shel Olam's viewpoint, it might not be kindness. So that's what you have to understand. Not only can't you understand what's rachamim and what's din, what's mercy and what's justice, but even what looks like rachamim might not be rachamim. And attempting to explain heavenly justice, okay? The Rambam thus wrote, if you're following, I'm on page 243 at the end of the second Sefer, and it's a second paragraph. Am I recording? Yeah. Why? I usually say I'm starting my recorder, and I didn't say that. Oh, yeah? Okay, yes. Thank you for the reminder. I am recording. Thank you. And attempting to explain heavenly justice, the Rambam wrote, this is from Hilchos Teshuvah, this is evaluated according to Hashem's understanding, and only Hashem knows. So Hashem knew that, in fact, the Medrash says that if Yaakov Avinu would not have agreed to go down to Egypt willingly, he would have been taken down to Egypt in chains. So it looked like kindness, but really it was the fulfillment of the din that was told to Avram and the Bris Ben Absarim, the covenant between the pieces. So everything is evaluated only according to Hashem's understanding. The Sfarim HaKadoshim, the Holy Book state that even in Gan Eden, even in the next world, a person will not be able to grasp the ultimate kindness in each event. So I don't exactly understand what that means, because my understanding of the Olam HaNeshamos is that we, when we get up there, everything will make sense. Here, the author is quoting Sfarim HaKadoshim, who he doesn't say what they are, that tell us that even in Gan Eden, a person will not be able to grasp the ultimate kindness in each event. I'm not sure exactly how we understand that. One, maybe we can't understand. One will come to grasp deeper and deeper ideas in the next world, but the ultimate depth is infinite and incomprehensible. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over, you know, in his Parsha parables, he always has a Parsha lesson with a little parable, a story or a mashal of humor or a lesson. So he tells over, there was a person who lived a very long time, a very old man, and he outlived all of his friends. So finally, they came to ask him the secret to longevity. So he said, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know what the secret to longevity is, but all my friends, whenever something happened to them, they looked up to the heavens and they said, why God, why me? I never asked any questions. So it seems that God took them up. They wanted to know why me. So he said, if you want to come see why me, it has to be up here. I'll show you why. Me, said the man, I never asked why me. So God hasn't taken me up there because I don't want to know the reason. Apparently here, even once we're in the next world, the ultimate depth of God's ways space is so infinite that even in the level of the soul, we won't totally be able to understand whatever exactly that means. Not only do we not understand suffering, but we don't even understand kindness. We say the blessing, Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, God, we bless God who is good and God who does good. We do not understand the depth of goodness. So I'll tell you, we say, Osen Nifla'os Gedolos Levado Kili Olam Chasto. Osen Nifla'os Gedolos Levado. He does wonders, great ones, levado. So what does that mean? What does it mean? Osen niflaos gedolos levado. We say it in Hodu. We say it, it depends on your nusach. On Shachris, either before Baruch Sha'amar or after Baruch Sha'amar, Shabbos morning. What does it mean? Lo'osei niflaos gedolos levado. Lo'osei, he does. Niflaos, great wonders. Gedolos, great ones, levado. What does it mean? What? So he himself does great wonders. He himself split the sea, God. He himself brings down the man. He himself saved the Jews from Egypt. Rabbi Shai Schachter, a number of years ago, told me a beautiful alternative pshat into these words, which is a big source of chizak. La'osei nifla'os gedolos levado is man does not comprehend the greatness of God's kindness. He does great wonders. He does great miracles levado. Only he understands how great what he is doing is. We do not even appreciate. The Gemara says, Ein adam makir beniso. A person, I don't know the source in the Gemara, I'm not sure which Masechta or which Amud, but a person does not recognize the miracles that were done for him. Rabbi Shai Schachter explained to me, La oseg nifla'os gedolos levado, is that only Hashem truly understands the great things that he does. We don't even understand the depth of the goodness of what he does. Something might happen and you might not realize what a great pala this is, what a great wonder it is. Only the Ribbono Shel'olam understands the depths of the goodness. When you realize you do not grasp the kindness, and we have to understand that the one of the three pillars that holds up the world is chesed, ashlosh advarim ha'olam ha'made, three things the world stands upon, ala Torah, v'ala voda, v'al gemilas chasadim. So we tend to understand that that means that our Torah, our tefillah, prayer, our gemilas chasadim, acts of love and kindness hold up the world. But perhaps it means that these are God's pillars that hold up the world. Al ha-Torah, it's God's Torah, it's not my Torah. It's Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh. It's your Torah, Hashem, it's not my Torah. God grants me permission. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says in his Sefer, Sha'arim B'Tfilah, it's such a beautiful ha'ara. He says it's the greatest miracle that a person could understand Torah at all. That you can open up Chumash and understand Chumash with Rashi. That you could understand the Chiddush. That you could understand the Har. He says Torah is Hashem. We can't understand Hashem. That's what we spend all the time in the shir talking about, that we can't understand Hashem's ways. How is it possible that you could open up a chumash and even understand a small var, never mind a deep var? How could we understand? Shimshon Pinchas says it's one of the greatest matanos, the greatest gifts that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, that a mortal human being can understand kaviyachol, the mind of infinity, by learning Torah. So this is unbelievable. So maybe the shlosh advarim ha'olam omeid, pirkei avos, perek av, mishnah beis, upon three things the world stands, ala Torah v'ala and an alternative interpretation doesn't refer to our three realms of Avodah Hashem. Doesn't mean my Torah learning. It does. I'm giving a different interpretation. My davening, my acts of loving kindness, rather it means the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kaviyachol, these three pillars of God, so to speak, hold up Hashem's world. It's Torah, it's Hashem's Torah. It's not my Torah. Asher Yishasholo. V'soras Hashem chefso, v'soraso yega yamam v'layla, perek alfa tehillim. It's the Torah of Hashem. That's your desire. Avoda means the avoda korbanos that we offer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't understand exactly why Hashem needs korbanos. Doesn't make sense, but Hashem said. And finally, gemilas chasadim, perhaps it means the chesed that Hashem does for us, which we cannot even conceive of. Lo'ose nifla'os gedolos levado, the great miracles that he does that we can't even appreciate. Ein adam makir beniso. Maybe that's the chesed that holds up the world. Maybe an alternative shot. I don't know. I never saw it brought down anywhere. But in light of what we're learning, it makes sense. Not only do my acts of Torah, tefillah, and acts of loving kindness hold up the world, but the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. Without the Torah, there would be no world. The Ribbono Shel Olam's korbanos that we offer to him, so to speak, and finally, the chasadim that Hashem does for us. And that's Kili Olam Chasto. When you realize you do not grasp the kindness, you will clearly appreciate you can't grasp the suffering. If you can't even grasp the kindness of Hashem, Ein Adam Makir Beniso, when you go from place A to place B safely, that's an ace. You even realize that it's an ace? When you swallow, every time you chew and swallow and digest your food, I was just talking to someone this afternoon who has COVID, she's been in quarantine in the basement, for a week. I'm not smiling. It's very difficult. She said, I have no sense of smell, no sense of taste. So, ain adam makir beniso. How many of us took smell and taste for the full bracha that it is before this pandemic? I don't know, maybe you, but not me. I don't know how much we thought about it. I mean, it tasted good, but how much did we really appreciate the miracle that food actually has flavor? So if you don't even grasp the kindness of Hashem, how could we possibly appreciate the suffering of Hashem? If you don't understand His ways, you don't understand the ways. So it works with both ways. If you don't understand God's kindness, you also don't understand the suffering. We don't understand anything about Hashem. A person thinks he understands kindness, but he doesn't understand suffering. But in fact, we understand neither. We must have faith in Chazal and the sages who say the whole creation is the bestowal of kindness. Everything that Hashem does for the purpose of the world is the bestowal of kindness. It really relates to the Imahus. This week's parsha is Chayei Sarah. The only test, the only litmus test for the second Ein B'Yisrael. What would they think of the Shidduch HaZemayis today, the Avos and Imahos? It's laughable. What would they think today? You know, the only thing, now, where she went to camp and where her parents went to camp. One thing, a Balas Chesed. That's the only thing that Eliezer was looking for. Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Yod Dalet with Rashi. If she is a Gomelas Chesed, Kedai Hili Kanes, Lebei Social Avram. That's the only thing that they cared about. If she was not, how thin and how heavy and how tall and how short, how old. Rav Steinman's wife, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh of Racha, was 5 years older than him. Rav Itzin Tamar, when they got married, Rav Steinman was 30. Rav Itzin Tamar was 35. Not how wealthy, not how lower socioeconomic scale, not how fancy, not how plain. Like, I didn't care about anything. There was only one thing that they would think we're crazy today. I'm sorry to say. They really would. There's only one thing that matters, and the whole creation is the bestowal of kindness. That's the only thing he was looking for in Rivka. That's it. And Chazal tells us, Sota Yodalet Aleph. The Gemara says, Beferush. Torah, Darash Rabbi Simlei, Torah Tchilas, Gmilas Chasadim, Vesofa Gmilas Chasadim. The book ends of the Torah HaKadosha is Chesed. The first act of Chesed in the Torah is God clothed the unclothed. The last Chesed in the Torah, says Rabbi Simlei, is Hashem buried Moshe, Vayich Baroso Begayit, and the Vezos HaBracha. So the only thing that Avram cared about was that this, she comes from a family of Ovdes of Avodah Zarah. We could work on that. We'll be Makariv her. If she has a heart, could you imagine if she has a heart of Gomelas Chesed, then that's what we're looking for. And that is really an emulation of the ways of Hashem. The Gemara says in the same place, so to Yodalad Aleph, that we have a mitzvah, lahaleich achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to go in His ways. So God starts the Torah with Chesed and closes the Torah with Chesed to really teach us what the author is saying here. The whole creation is for the bestowal of kindness. That's the whole purpose of creation. That was the tent of Avram and Sarah, and that was the tent that Rivka Imenu reestablished. And I once read something beautiful about Sodom. They were the antithesis of kindness. They were the epitome of stinginess. So why did Lot's wife turn to a pillar of salt? So I asked that question today at the Nautilus. So one very elderly gentleman said, because she looked back. So I obviously didn't phrase my question properly. I said, you're right. Because she looked back. I meant to say, why did she turn to salt and not something else? Why didn't she turn to a pillar of stone? Why didn't she turn to a pillar of mud from the Dead Sea? Why didn't she turn to a pillar of palm trees? Why specifically was she turned into salt? Anyone knows what I'm going to say?
I knew it once, and I can't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember.
So when I say, you'll tell me if this is what you heard. So I once heard a beautiful vart. I don't remember who said it. But it's not my vart. If I say it and it's familiar, you could tell me who said it. It's not my own vart. Answer a beautiful part. What is the maila of salt? What does salt do to food? It's a preservative and something else. It enhances flavor. I'm not talking about if you put so much salt into the soup that you can't eat it. If you put in a normal amount of salt, I just made a soup tonight, this afternoon for Shabbos. It's a puree vegetable shredded chicken soup. So it's really for Shabbos. I had a different soup in the fridge, but one of the boys came home. He wanted this soup. So I said, let me just taste it. Let me make sure I salted it properly. Salt enhances the flavor of food. So we know that she turned into salt because Chazal and Rashi quotes it. She didn't even want to share this bad minhag, she said, you're bringing to the place. When he said, I have some guests, could we have some salt for the soup? She said, this bad minhag, so we just think it means a degree of stinginess. You're so stingy, you can't even share salt. The whole thing costs 89 cents. They can't have a little bit of salt. It's much deeper. I don't remember who said this pshat, but salt is an enhancer. It's bad enough we have guests, she was saying, you want to enhance their experience, you want to make it palpable, just give them the soup, who cares what it tastes like? So you're sitting and you're eating and you're sustaining yourself. I'm not killing you, but I should give you salt, i.e. I should enhance the experience of the guests in my home. I should make it as good as possible, as comfortable as possible. Now you're crossing the line. It's one thing if you want a bowl of soup, but in other words, it's a metaphor for we try and make it as comfortable as possible. When you do a chesed for somebody, it shouldn't just be the bare minimum. Take the soup without the salt. You're right. They're not going to die. You're feeding them. They're not going to starve to death because they're eating the soup. But it doesn't have any taste. It doesn't have any time. It doesn't have any flavor. It doesn't have any enhancement. It's not an enjoyable experience. And the Chazal say Pirkei Avos about Anshei Sodom, their Mida is Shali Shali Shalach Shalach. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Some say Zo Mida Bein Onis, this is the middle. B'yesh Omim Zo Mida Stom. That's the Mida of Stom. What God gave me is me, what God gave you is you, and that's it, I'm not going to share. That's Mida Stom. I should enhance your journey through this world. I should make it more comfortable for you. I should make it better for you. That's represented in not share. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, but she didn't
want to
even put salt in
there. No, so she didn't want to put salt, is the pshat. That's what Chazal say. That's what Rashi says. But this is... That what?
She didn't want the food to taste good.
Oh, so she didn't want food to...
Even if she did a little bit, she went backwards.
Oh, so she didn't want food to be enhanced. Thank you so much. When you're not here, I don't drink. It's so funny. But when you bring me the water, suddenly talk, I need to have a drink. You already have a chazaka with this water. I spoke at Central High School last week. Oh, the Wednesday night before. You know? Because you work for YU?
Yeah, I saw.
So one of the teachers or organizers asked one of the students to go get me a bottle of water, which was very nice. So she shows up with the bottle of water. So I said, do you have a cup, please? I said, if you don't, it's fine. But do you by chance have a cup? So she went to find them. So, yes, so the salt represents enhancement of flavor. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam does chesed for us, we don't even understand. We're not just going through this. There's enjoyable things in life. There are pleasure. Putting on a warm sweater when you walk outside in a brisk day, that's pleasurable. The fact that your food tastes good. Maybe we should just not have taste buds. We wouldn't starve. We wouldn't die. We would be sustained. The Ribbono Shel Olam does chesed with a degree of salt. In other words, there's an added measure of enhancement and enjoyment in this world. And that's the things we take for granted that we don't even understand. So we don't understand the suffering, and we also don't even understand the depth of Hashem's kindness. So this is a big chiddush, because we really think we understand the kindness, but we don't understand the suffering. But lamaisa, the truth is, we don't understand the depth of Hashem's goodness to us either. And that's why the author writes, we have to have faith in Chazal, who said the whole world is for the bestowal of kindness. We just quoted the Gemara, and the idea that the Gemara says there, we must walk in His way. So if Hashem enhances our experience in this world, then we must enhance, we must go in His ways. We have an imperative, biblically mandated, to go after the ways of God, and we have to do for others like Hashem does for us. So yes, we have to share salt. In the next chapter, we will try to show how to bring these ideas into the heart. But first, it must be clear, all of Hashem's acts bestow kindness without a single exception. And it's very hard. I think that's still very hard. It's something that I don't know. Maybe even as long as we're learning here, and it's really changed my life, but it's still hard for me to see that everything in this world, without a single exception, is a bestowal of kindness. I know in my head, it's hard for me to, I could say this is Ratzon Hashem. It remains difficult for me to grasp that certain events that we see around us are really Hashem's kindness. I know, it doesn't mean I could feel in my heart yet that everything that happens is absolute kindness. Maybe you're on a different level than me, and call kavod. Maybe you feel that everything is kindness. My brothers have started to listen to, I don't know who, Amunam Bitachon, some Amunam Bitachon person. So they've been telling me, I don't know his name, so I can't quote it. So they keep telling me about this Amunam Bitachon person. So one of my brothers just told me, he told over this story, this woman hosted guests, talking about hosting guests. This is one of the Emunah B'Tachon Collins. This woman hosted guests. And at the end of Shabbos, one of the guests was coughing. The guest said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, I tested positive for COVID." It's a story. I don't think it's true. But there's a point. And the doctor said it was really okay. I didn't have to worry about it. I'm sorry I came. So the couple leaves. I think it's just a mashal. And the wife was irate. How do you say irate? Yeah. And how could they come here? And what were they thinking? And the husband saying it's Ratzon Hashem. So the point was an extreme example of everything is Ratzon Hashem. Everything is for the good. Everything is Hashem's kindness. So I don't think that I'm necessarily yet on that level. Where you look at an event that seems to be very difficult and say this is kindness. I could say it's God's will. It's hard for me to say that this is chesed. I see it more as din. Okay, I don't know. I'm working on it. When a person senses that I am going to finish a chapter tonight, in your honor, you came back to Shia. When a person senses that there are events in his life that are not expressions of kindness, he becomes distant from the Creator. That's for sure true. Because you start to say, Hashem, you don't like me. Why did you do this? But when he understands that each event is true kindness, nothing can distance him from the Creator. I just started a new biography of Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman. Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman was the youngest Dayan in Vilna before the war. He was a survivor. Then he came to America, page 244. Then he came to America and then Eretz Yisrael. He's very famous amongst lay people. Why is he so famous amongst lay people? There's a famous story about Rav Gustman and who? Professor Alman. Professor Alman, who lost his son in the Lebanon War. I stood by his cave on her Herzl, Shlomo Alman. His wife was, I think, expecting their second child. He fell in the IDF. There's a very... Say it again.
My brother went to Yeshiva, learned in Eretz Yisrael
by Rav Gustman.
By Rav Gustman? Yeah.
Your brother learned by him?
Yeah.
Ah. There's a very famous story about Rav Gustman and Professor Alman. And when Professor Alman was sitting Shiva for his son. So I have the biography, the art school biography, and I just didn't read it. I'm always reading something else. So I just picked it up and I just started it yesterday, I think. So I was just reading the beginning. So in Kovno, before the war, they tell over a story of a certain individual who went to the Dayan in Kovno, and they said, "What should I do? There was a terrible gzeira against my family, and many members of the family..." This is the art school biography of Rav Gustman. I'm just quoting the story. "And many members of this person's family were nifter in a fire." And I have too many svarim. You want to take one?
No, it's fine.
They probably sell stands for this. I should probably look on Amazon. They probably just sell stands. So there was a very bad fire, and Rachman al Islam, this individual, a simple Jew, had five children, and four were Hashem Yirachim, killed in the fire, and one surviving son. So he went to the Rosh Hashiva and he said, "What should I do?" So Rosh Hashiva said, "Make your home a home for the Yeshiva Bachram. You should have a lot of Yeshiva Bachram always in your home as a tikkun for what happened." So when people would ask the simple Yid in Kovno how many children he had, he would say, "I have four in the next world and one in this world." But the story was told over that the degree of Emunah that the Jews had, he would say it as a simple fact, as if he was saying, "I have four overseas and one in town." The degree of Emunah that a simple Jew had in the shtetl, I know there were big cities, I know there was assimilation, I know there was Haskalah movement. This is an example of just to have such pure amun in the Ribbono Shel Olam that it's a simple matter of fact. And a person can sometimes sense in life that everything is kindness. Sometimes you need to work on it still. However, if you don't sense the kindness of Hashem, you become distant from the Creator. That's for sure true. Hashem, why did you do this? And then you don't feel a connection. But when he understands each event is true kindness, nothing can distance him from the Creator. So again, I don't know what madrig everyone here is on, the people on Zoom, the people in person. I still see din and rachamim in the world. It's hard for me to see that din is kindness. I say it's from Hashem. I know that. There's a gezeirah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't see the bigger picture, and therefore it's difficult for me to see that it's kindness. Maybe you do. But the danger is if a person does not see kindness, you risk distance from Hashem. He will be able to come close to him both through what seems like kindness and through what seems like suffering. So in other words, if you know that the kindness is kindness, and what seems like suffering, I don't know. It's very important to validate how a person feels. I don't know. When a person's suffering, they're suffering. You can't say it seems like suffering. It's not correct. I'm sorry. It's just not correct. It's a terrible educational tool and a terrible interpersonal tool and a very bad self-analysis tool to negate the fact that sometimes a person feels pain. You shouldn't say it seems like pain. It's pain, okay? It's pasha. A person sometimes is in pain. I'm not an angel. God made me a human being. A human being is feeling. A human being is emotions. Emotion. The one of the last Rashis, Mamash, the last Rashi in Parshas Noach, Parshas Bereishis, right before Parshas Noach. It's already in Perek Vav. So Rashi tells us, Bishas chedva sa chedva, so ubishas evlasa evlasa. Just take off the alf, it's Aramaic. Bishas chedva chedva, bishas evelus evelus. In the time of rejoicing, man rejoices, and in the time of mourning, a person mourns. So it's hard for me, I don't know. Seems like kindness, seems like suffering. People do suffer. Yes, it's from Hashem, but there is suffering in this world. So it's not so my mahalach to say seems like suffering. Maybe it's yours. I just think it's extremely important to validate who a human being feels. I'm just pointing that out. I don't know. His joy with them will be equal. In other words, your joy with kindness, what seems like kindness, and your joy with what seems like suffering will be equal because they're all from Hashem. So that's true. You could say it's all from Hashem. The kasha is if a person suffers or it seems like suffering. People do suffer. May Hashem enable us to cleave to Him at all times. And that's for sure true. So we have this. So we finished the chapter, Baruch Hashem. So I'm now going to quote an extremely... I read this in the beginning of the week. I sometimes learn through Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb's drashos when I eat my lunch. If I'm not preparing something else, that's when I just for myself. And I wasn't even planning to reteach this one. And I already read it 3 times for myself. And when I was re-preparing Shir, because I think I prepared this 5 times, because I always think I'm going to go more than I get to. And every time I re-prepare, there's more insights that come out. I realized that this drasha that I'm going to share with you relates exactly to this idea. And it's extremely powerful. The idea that both suffering and kindness come from Hashem, and that we can remain close to Hashem, both through kindness and through suffering, if we appreciate everything is from God. Okay? So let's go. I'm quoting from Drashot LeDorot, Genesis. Okay? Drashot LeDorot, Bereishis. November 27th, 1959. It's related to Parshas Chayisar. I promise when I read, I didn't think I was going to quote it anywhere. I read it 3 times already. Of all the names that have been given to this period of history through which we are currently living, the most appropriate and descriptive is we are in the age of anxiety. This is in 1959. The age of anxiety. Indeed, it is anxiety that most accurately describes the inner life of man of our era, his unceasing tension. Could you imagine if that's what they said in 59, what would we say today? And the whole range of psychosomatic ills which symbolize the tense inner life. We did a whole series of shiurim called the Avir Rachman Alatav Avir. We concluded it by talking about Beis Ram Beis Zev Lef, absolute truth and subjective truth. I don't know, it's a few months ago in Rayu Torah. So we are living in a time of age of anxiety. Anxiety is the mood which dominates all of modern men and which is its most characteristic, it's even apparent in children, most characteristic emotion, anxiety. What, if anything, does Judaism have to say about this phenomenon, anxiety? Does your age group, do you feel this? Like your friends, do they talk about this? Or have this feeling without naming it, maybe? What did you
say?
Mostly regarding tests. Okay, so you feel it mostly regarding tests. Okay. What is the Torah outlook? Did someone say something? What did you say?
They're agreeing. It's true.
What's true?
With tests.
Okay, so in other words, every age and every stage has anxiety regarding something.
Right.
The teaching of Judaism that is most relevant to the problem of modern man's anxiety is expressed in two words. Now, I have to tell you something. I don't know what the first word is. That's because, I'll tell you why, it's transliterated. Hishtav ut. But the problem is, in these books, they don't put C-H or C-H, only H. So I don't know if it's Hishtav ut or nevis. I even went to Google Translate. It's meaning, right? Is it like Meshuva? Oh, from Shalva? Shaava? H-I-S-H. T. If it was Hebrew, I would know what it says. Does it mean like Yishuv Hadas? I don't know what word he's saying. He's describing the quality of Yishuv Hadas. I don't know what word it is. I even went to Google Translate. I tried to spell with a base. I tried to spell with two vavs. I'm not sure what the word is. Hish tavut nefesh, Hishtavut. I don't know what the shorish is, but it's he's talking about. I don't know. That's the problem. I don't know. Okay, he's talking about the quality of menuchas hanefesh. What?
Equanimity.
Equanimity. So it's like tranquility of the soul. Hishtavus hanefesh then would be.
That makes sense. Maybe it's shabbat.
Shavat, cessation, heshtavut, okay. What is it? So it's vavs, not bees.
That's what I was saying.
So what's that word?
So that's shavat.
Like equal?
Yeah, everything is.
Okay, fine. I'm just going to say tranquility of the soul.
Yes, it's like homeostasis, like a spiritual homeostasis.
What? What did you say? I didn't hear. Okay, I don't know what you said. I'm going to go. Oh, you're right. The next word in English is equanimity.
Equanimity.
Stability. Even keel, psychologically and spiritually. What? What did she say?
I said a spiritual homeostasis. Like the biological, like homeostasis of when your body is equal.
Mm-hmm. But in Hebrew it's with vavs?
Yeah.
Like shaveh?
Yeah.
Okay. This attitude, see, it's good I brought this up in Shir, because no, I read through this three times. I went to Google Translate. I didn't know what word it actually was.
But like two vavs are like an equal sign.
This attitude, so you're imbalanced. Inside, you're equal with yourself. This attitude of hishtavus hanefesh, one of the constancy of the personality, is eventually based on the religious conception of faith. So really, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, which is probably hashkafically very, very different in life than this author, are really going to say the same thing. Having hishtavus hanefesh, constancy in your personality, is based on the religious conception of faith. Because if a man has faith, he will not be upset either by very good news or by very bad news. He will yield neither to temptation of affluence nor to the threat of adversity. For the same God is the source of both opposites. In much more eloquent language, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron Lebracha, is saying exactly what our author is saying. In much more poetic and eloquent language. If he has success in his endeavors, he will remain unimpressed with his own triumph. If he is criticized until it hurts, he will remain unperturbed and unshaken in his faith. This Jewish teaching was brilliantly expounded upon in our Sidra, meaning Parshas Chayei Sarah, by the Regisseur Rav. The Torah tells us at the beginning of our portion that Sarah lived for 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. And Rashi says, Kulan Shavin, oh, Shaveh, there we go. Kulan Shavin Latova. All her years were equal in goodness. What Rashi meant is explained by the Regisseur Rav as Hishtavus Shavin Latova. I should have gotten it. Hishtavus Hanefesh. Sarah had stability of mind and soul. Sarah's life had ups and downs. It reached very high points and very low points. There were changes in her fortune. In her early years, she was uprooted from her home. She was barren, Vatahi Sarai, Akara, Ein La Valad, and the Perikir Aleph. She wandered from town to town and city to city, following her husband. When she came to Egypt, she was abducted. Later, she rejoiced when her husband attained great wealth. Finally, she had a child. She heard he was about to be slaughtered, and her soul departed. Her basic characteristic, therefore, however, of goodness, remain unchanged throughout. Kulan Shavin, Shavin, Hishtavus HaNefesh. She became neither arrogant with success, nor did she feel despair or crushed by failure. She practiced the Jewish quality of Hishtavus HaNefesh. Is this not a message that we modern day people ought to seek out and observe in our own lives? Too many of us in our day of age have lost the capacity for psycho, mind, spiritual, ruchnius, ability, stability. We have lost the capacity for intellectual and spiritual stability. In conditions of adversity, we become demoralized, confused, and perplexed. V'ha'ir Shushan Nevocha. The city of Shushan was perplexed. How did this happen to them? We lose our faith. We blame defeat upon God. And in times of prosperity, we become arrogant. We regard ourselves as self-made. And so too, in times of prosperity, we also don't need faith. Religion suffers the most during time of great stress, when circumstances are either very good and people forget God, Devarim Perek Ches, the Torah says it beferish, or when times are very bad and people blame God. War and famine, economic prosperity and well-being cause attrition in the ranks of religious people. I have to skip a little. I'm not going to have time for the whole essay. The rabbis of the Talmud saw this quality of Hishtavus HaNefesh as the symbol of the greatest of three requirements required by God. What does God say? A very famous pasuk through the Navi Micha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Ches. Higidecha Adam Matov. I will tell you, man, what is good and what God desires of you. Kim aso mishpat, you should do justice. Va'ahavas chesed, and love kindness. What's the end? Va'hatznei alachas imalokecha. Humbly you shall walk, modestly you shall walk with Hashem your God. Interestingly, the Gemara Maseches Makos 24a Chaf Dalet Av, the Gemara in Makos, tells us, what is Hatznei Alechad Im Elokecha? To walk humbly, modestly with Hashem your God? The Gemara says, it means to accompany the bride to the bridal canopy, and to accompany to the, what is wrong with me? Hatznei Alechad Im Elokecha, according to the Gemara Maseches Makos, Chaf Dalet means to accompany the bride to the chuppah, and to accompany the deceased to the kever. Now, those are two major extremes. One is full of simcha, accompany the bride to the wedding canopy. One is full of mourning, accompany the deceased to his final resting place. What are the sages coming to teach us when they say, Hatznei Alechad Im Elokecha, means it is manifest when you walk the bride to the bridal canopy and when you walk the deceased to his final resting place? What our sages mean to tell us is, if you want to know if a man is devout, if he walks humbly with God, test his reaction, attitude, and strength of character in the extremes, crucial times of life. Whether it's great joy and success, like the chuppah, or great grief, like the kever. To walk humbly with God means to achieve the quality of Hishtavus HaNefesh. So we have simcha, but not to the extreme of forgetting about Hashem. And we have mourning, but not to the extreme of forgetting about Hashem. In both cases, you can forget God. Too much wealth, parachas of divine, v'ram levavacha. I mean, the Torah says it before, v'shachaktos Hashem al-kacha. You're going to live in big houses that you didn't build. Everything's going to be wonderful, and it's going to be so great, you're going to forget God. It's too good, you forget God. It's too bad, too much seeming suffering. And a person also says, God abandoned me. Where's God? There's no God, so I'm going to leave him. So the sages in their brilliance, Chazal in their brilliance in the Gemara tell us, you know what it means? Hatznei alechas, walk humbly im alokecha. In times of great rejoicing, in times of great mourning, If you maintain your even keel in terms of your faith, you have the midah of hishtavus ha-nefesh. To walk humbly with God means to achieve profound faith. You're not shaken up. Someone who's shaken up goes to extremes. Life doesn't shake you up. This refers to inner stability. Even when life moves us back and forth across the spectrum of experience, from deep misery to bright, cheery optimism. Deep misery represented taking the mace to the kever. Bright, cheery optimism accompanying the bride to the chuppah. Both are hatznei alachas im elokecha, because in both situations it's a litmus test of man's faith. Is he shaken up like a ship in a storm? Or is he walking with equanimity?
Equanimity?
Equanimity with God. And therefore, on the occasion of death, we are commanded to mourn. For otherwise, in the words of Maimonides, Hilchos Aveilos, we are merciless and hardened. And yet the same Maimonides writes that one who mourns excessively is a fool. On sad occasions, we introduce a note of optimism. And so we don't say Tachanun on Tish Abba'av, because it's a moed. And in times of rejoicing, like the Pesach Seder, we add maror to temper out the rejoicing. There always must be hishtavus ha-nefesh. That's why equal, balance. We should not be over-impressed by triumph, and we should not be perturbed by defeat. I have to skip. Listen carefully to the next paragraph. Please listen very carefully. So if there is, I want to try not to interrupt him, Bli Neder, and say the whole paragraph. So if there is anyone who had the fortune, smile upon him, who has achieved a great deal of satisfaction and success, let him not forget, ultimately, man is dust and ashes, anochi afer ve'efer. Let him remember to walk humbly with God. And conversely, if there is someone who somehow suffers silently, whose heart is wounded with grief, whose soul bears painful sores, let him not lose faith and submit to moodiness, and especially not to the feeling of his own worthlessness. Let him remember, not only does Micha say, Hatznei Alachas, but it's Im Elokecha. You must walk humbly, but you walk with God. And there is no greater consolation for any human being to know that he is created in the image of God. And there is a God above who listens to the heartbeat of every human being as a father listens to the pleading voice of a child. And repeat the beginning again. If there is anyone who has ever had fortune, smile upon him, who has achieved satisfaction and success, let him not forget ultimately man is afer ve'efer. It's a quote from last week's parsha. Let him remember to walk humbly. The focus in this case is to be humble when you reach success. Hishtavus ha-nefesh, let your humility temper your ecstasy at your success. Conversely, if there is someone who suffers silently, whose soul is wounded with grief and bears painful sores, who perhaps has received criticism, do not yield to self-pity and despair. Do not lose faith. Do not submit to moodiness. And do not feel worthless. Let you remember that though you walk humbly, in this case, the focus is on Im Elokecha. That walk is with God. So when things are too good, how do you temper that feeling of success where you risk forgetting God? Hatznei alachas. You find hishtavus from shaveh, equanimity, By remembering, be humble. But when times are bad, I'm putting that in quotes because I don't know anymore if I could even say that things are bad according to these Sfarim. When we seemingly suffer, when you bear your pain in silence, when your soul has sores, when you're wounded with grief, don't forget the enemichos pasuk. Hatznei alachas doesn't stop there. Im Elokecha. And that lifts you up from your despair. And that gives you a sense of balance when life is not good. And if this is true of human beings, then it is certainly true of us as Jews. inner, I have to skip. I'm skipping. Would that we, descendants of these strong personalities, learn this marvelous faith. We must learn to take life in stride without at any time upsetting the apple cart of character. We must never be insensitive, but we must be strong and powerful of faith. We must neither yield to wild abandon or relaxation of effort when we behold the victory and the triumph of the state of Israel. Remember, this was 1959. We must not submit to defeat and pessimism as we ponder the bitter fate of Russian Jewry. So he's giving an example in his time on a national level. Too much euphoria over the state of Israel. It was only founded 11 years before this was said. You forget God. Yisrael betach betzahal. Too much pessimism over the Jews in Russia. You say, well, God abandoned his people. We must not turn giddy with delight when some scholar or politician praises us. And we must not feel too bad when some Gentile criticizes us. And this was the Midah of Sarah. And that's the secret of this Rashi. Kulan shavin letova. Whatever life brought her way. She was abducted by Paros. She was abducted by Avimelech. Her son was taken to be shechted. Hagar's son wanted to kill her son. She was infertile for 90 years. There was a famine in the land. And there was good times also. She was wealthy with Avram after they left Egypt. He was the prince of God amongst people. She had a child in her old age. There were blessings as well. Kulan shavin letova doesn't only mean the pshat of Rashi, they were all equal for goodness. She was able to maintain her equilibrium. What do you say? Homeostasis. There was no flight or fight in Sarah Imenu. Whatever life brought her way, she maintained her even keel, and so her faith in God remained strong. And Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam concludes and says, Ashreinu matov chalkenu manayim gorolein. If you have the sefer, read the whole thing. I unfortunately had to skip too much. Ashreinu matov chalkenu manayim gorolein. Happy are we not only that our lot is tov, it's good, it's ethical, it's true, but our destiny is na'im. Ashreinu matov chalkenu umanayim gorolein. It's both tov and it's na'im. It's good and pleasant. And our destiny as Klal Yisrael is satisfying and makes for a healthy mind and healthy soul. And above all, happy are we that our heritage, our Yerusha, the great Jewish tradition, is so beautiful. So I think in a much more eloquent, passionate, moving, stirring way, in 1959, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam said the same thing that this author is trying to say. That there's no such thing as too good, and there's no such thing as too bad. And if you recognize that everything emanates from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then like Sarah Imenu, kulan shavin letova. Whatever happens in life, you will maintain that hishtavus, that shaveh, a nefesh. You'll not be thrown off when life is so great, and we will also not be thrown off when life is not so great. So if you have had fortune smile upon you, remember to walk humbly with God. And if you suffer silently and your heart is wounded with grief, remember that that humble walk is with God. And that was Sarah Imenu's years, and that was her life. Perhaps that's one of the most resounding lessons. It's a final lesson. That's what Rashi comments. Shnei chayei Sarah, kulan shavin. Until halavai, I should be so zocha. Okay, ladies, thank you so much. Wish you a wonderful week of Besuros Tovos. Ashur should be an Ali and a Shama from Miriam Fraud, Miriam Baschai Mitzak, Allah Hasham. Wish you share Besuros Tovos and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you, Laila Tov to all.